Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Nathan.
Welcome to Sent here at South Parade. My name's Nathan. I'm part of the ministry team here, and I'll be leading us through the service. Just a couple of pieces of housekeeping. If you need the toilets, then they're through that door on my right, your left. After the service, there'll be opportunity to get refreshments in the greenhouse, so through that door on my left, your right. But also, if you'd like prayer for anything, whether you've come ready to receive prayer or through the process of gathering together, there's something that you'd like prayer for, then there'll be members of the leadership team on the left-hand side of the sanctuary after the service who'd love to pray for you. I'm just going to pray for us all, and then I'll hand over to the musicians. So let's pray together. Father God, we believe that you're here. Lord Jesus, we trust your promise that where people are gathered in your name, then you will be in the midst of them. And we know and experience the fulfillment of your promise of the Holy Spirit that is in us and with us and wants to change us to become more like Christ. We open ourselves again to you this evening and ask for you to have your way with us. Amen. please take your seats. We're into community time now, where we share the different things that are happening across South Braid as a whole, and also those specific to Scent as a mission community. Hopefully you'll all be aware that this coming Wednesday there'll be a Thanksgiving service for Anne Morden here at 2:30. There's an encouragement from the family to wear bright colours, that it will be a celebration of Anne's life and a Thanksgiving for her. That's not an obligation, it's an encouragement. So if you would rather not, then the family don't want you to feel ill at ease. But if you are able, then there's an encouragement to wear bright colours. This is perhaps the last couple of weeks that you might like to contribute to the box that's going to Levi. He's now back in the UK, and he'll be here at South Braid in 2 weeks' time. He'll be preaching at South Braid together. But there's a card there that you could sign for Levi. He's one of our mission partners who was back from Japan on home assignment, having spent 4 years in country. And so he's got a year on home assignment when he'll be with us and doing other things with OMF and across the country with other organisations. So there's an encouragement there to fill the box. Last year, you'll remember that there was an encouragement during the summer months to perhaps take a book out on loan from the church library to make the most of the opportunities that you might have with an increased amount of downtime in the summer. Maybe for some of you that's not the case, so you won't be able to do that. But if you do have opportunity, then the library is still there and you can just check books out and return them, hopefully. And if you don't return them, then we're not going to send the management round to knock on your door. So you'll be fine. I'm going to invite Tim to come to the front now. Hopefully, again, you'll know who Tim is. But I'm just going to get him to introduce himself. Tim, who are you and what have you been doing?
Great. So this last year I've been doing the relay program with the UCCF. So that means working with the Christian unions, so mainly at the University of Leeds, a little bit with students at Leeds Trinity University. It involves meeting with students to encourage them and equip them in their evangelism for those that are believers already, and then opportunities to meet with unbelievers and point them to Christ.
And over this last year, Tim, in that role, what have been some of your highlights? And I realise that might be difficult to narrow down just to a couple, but...
Yeah, I've really enjoyed working with Transformations Leeds, with International Student Outreach, so regularly being a part of the living room on the Tuesday night, their weekly cafe, which a few others from South Braid do help with. It's really wonderful to see them there, to join in together, sharing the gospel with those students. I've also enjoyed, so I didn't really say, part of the programme as well is having time set aside to study. So that's been a real privilege to have time in the week to be able to learn more about who God is and who I am, sort of, in creation and in Christ, to know God's love for me more deeply.
And that year came to an end officially on Friday. That was like your last official day of relay. And what's coming next, Tim, for you?
Yeah, so immediately I'll be heading back south, living with Mum for a few weeks over the summer, before at the end of August I'll then move out to Austria to continue working with Christian unions, but in Linz, so a city in central Austria. And it'll be similar to what I've been doing this year, so meeting with students, internationals as well.
Yeah. Great. And South Braid will continue to support you both financially and in prayer, Tim. And so how can we be praying well for you as you prepare to go to Linz?
Say, there are practical arrangements still to be made, things like accommodation. I've had a medical, some stuff towards that done, but that would go smoothly. I think, greater than that is to just know God's goodness in going, and while I'm there, to be strong in the grace in Christ Jesus, I think is what the bit of 2 Timothy says. Yeah, I know there'll be times when it feels tough, sort of, I don't really know anyone in Austria at this stage. It's really exciting, but it's, yeah, having that balance, and yeah, I think just knowing God's goodness, God's comfort throughout is the main prayer request.
And perhaps worth saying that this is kind of open-ended in some respects, is that right?
Yeah, so the commitment's definitely a year, very likely to be 2 at this stage. I go with a view of sort of being there for a handful of years, but also to be open to the opportunities, sort of the Lord's leading, how it's going. If it's a real car crash, then maybe I won't stay there I won't tie myself down to 5 years from the off or anything like that. But yeah, sort of at this stage, that's how I see it. But there's, yeah, a lot of life to happen still.
Yeah. Great. It'd be excellent if we could pray for Tim now. Perhaps a few people who know Tim could come and lead us from the front in praying. So don't be shy. People want to come and join us. We can pray for those practical aspects, so the medical is partway through, accommodation. Pray for Tim to know the grace of God as he goes, and then also for the future in terms of what might come as he spends time in Linz and beyond that. So let's pray for Tim now.
Lord God, we thank you for Tim and the way that you've equipped him and called him and gifted him for this year of doing Relay. We thank you that through this year you've grown him so much in his faith and in his ministry and his love for you. And we thank you that you've put Austria on his heart and on his mind, and you provided this opportunity to go and serve over there. We pray that you'll continue to build him up and strengthen him in his relationship with you. And even though it's going to be a lot of change over the next few months, they'll settle into Austria really well. They'll find a good church, find some good friends, and some good opportunities to get to know people and share your good news with them, Lord Jesus, we pray. We ask that you'll keep him strong in his disciplines of prayer and in your word and meeting together with other Christians. And we just pray that you'll continue to be growing him in his faith, in his likeness of you, Lord Jesus, and in his ministry, we pray. Amen.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we praise you for Tim and for his faith and for the characteristics you've given him that have enabled him to serve you this year and nurture disciples and preach and point people to you. Yeah, we thank you that in Tim's life so far you've been equipping him for this time. Though he didn't know it at the time, you led him to study German for such a time as this, when he would be called to preach the gospel in German to those Austrian students and to the internationals. So we thank you that you have equipped him and you will continue to equip him as he goes forward. We pray for the practicalities of accommodation and a church to worship with and friendships and a house group to support him locally there. And we know that all these things are in your hands, so we praise you for what you're about to do. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for Tim's warmth and sensitivity, his love for people. Thank you for the way you've led him so far. Thank you for the abilities you've given him in language, and that's given him the opportunity to step out in faith. And Lord, we just pray that his faith will increase as he seeks to serve you in a new way. There will be challenges, Lord, and we just pray you'll protect him, you'll guide him, you'll encourage him, you'll build him up. And Lord, we pray that he may get to know other Christians. And Lord, I just pray that you'll use him mightily. Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for every one of us, but Lord, you've given him a plan and a purpose specifically for this particular period of time. And Lord, as he steps out in faith, thank you for his faith. And Lord, I just pray you use him wonderfully. Lord, you'll just bless him, you'll encourage him, and we can look forward to hearing about what you've been doing in him and through him, Lord. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we thank you so much for Tim. Thank you for all that he means to us and all the gifts that he has been so willing to share with different groups. Thank you, Lord, for the work he's done with the international students. And Lord, we know that you're preparing him for even greater work in this next year. And we pray that you would guide him, that you would lead him, give him a real sense of your leading every step of the way. Help him to know how best to manage his time and how best to just meet people where they're at. We thank you, Lord, that Tim is someone who is so engaging and is what we call a bringer in, brings people in to you. And Lord, we pray that you would bless him and bless his ministry. May this be a year when he grows even more like Jesus and is able to develop even more of the skills and giftings that you have given to him. So, Lord, we pray that you would go before him, lead him every step of the way, meet every need that he has. And, Lord, we lovingly trust him to you now, for your name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Tim, we've also got to pass on from other Tim, so Mr. Cook. He's got a little rugby ball that he's got signed from a few South Paraders. So there you go. Tim was saying that when you get stressed out in Lynch, you can squeeze it and you can squeeze on us, I guess is the metaphor. We're going to continue in that attitude of prayer and bring to God a few situations from across the world and also personal to this church and in your own lives. And I'll just lead us through this time of prayer. Father God, we thank you that we can bring all situations to you. We thank you that you care for people and for this world. We pray for the Mordens this week. We thank you for your presence with them through this difficult time. We pray for them as they prepare for the Thanksgiving service here in Leeds and for one down in London later in the week as well. We pray for Peter and Joe and Rachel that you'd give each of them the strength that they need. We pray for the rest of the family that you'd help them as they mourn the loss of Anne. We thank you for her life and we thank you for her faith in you and the witness that she was. We pray as we join with them, whether in person or in prayer on Wednesday, that you would help each of us to, express our emotions well. We give thanks for who you are and the work that you did in Anne's life, and we thank you that you will continue to be with the family. Lord God, we want to pray for Irene as she continues to prepare to come home. We thank you for the opportunity that she's had for holiday. And we pray for her as she gets ready to come back and to settle back into life in the UK. We can remember Jane's encouragement when she was talking about her return, about feeling like she was in a washing machine, kind of tossed and turned. And so we pray for Irene that she would know your strength, that she would know peace at this time as she prepares to settle back in the UK. We pray that you give her guidance as to know how to spend her time, what to invest in. And we pray for us as her church family that we would support her well through this return home. Lord, we continue to pray for the leaders of our country and across the world as they deal with all kinds of issues. And we've seen in the press the decisions that the EU are making with regards to migration. We pray that you would give wisdom to each leader. We pray that they would prioritise the things that are close to your heart. We thank you for the Christians who serve in politics. We thank you that they serve you and they worship you in their diligence in their roles. We pray that they would continue to have an impact. We pray that you would encourage each one, that you would deepen their relationships with you, and that would give them extra resolve as they go into difficult meetings, whether it be negotiations or where they need to speak up for certain people or places. We pray for those in authority, that you would give them wisdom and discernment. Father, we thank you for the opportunities that the summer brings. We thank you for the good weather that we've experienced recently. But we pray for that time of connecting with you and connecting with perhaps family and friends who we don't see a lot at other times in the year, whether that's reunions or festivals or residentials or family holidays. We pray that they would be special moments for each person, that where we have opportunity to share of our faith, to share of the work that you've done since the last time we met with those people, that you would give us the boldness to do that, and that in being bold would remain sensitive to your Holy Spirit, to give us the right words, to ask the right questions, and to listen well when that's called upon to. We thank you that we can bring all these requests and those things that are on our hearts, that have occupied our minds throughout this day and the week that's been. We thank you for your care and your concern and your activity in this world. Amen. We're going to sing again in a moment. I just want to introduce something that we're going to do immediately after the songs. Hopefully that will create a natural segue and there'll be no awkwardness, but we'll just see how we go. It's an encouragement and it's a prayer where we'll take the Bibles perhaps that are around you, or maybe you'll use your tablet if you're using that to read the word this evening, and we'll move it from different places, so instructions will come up on the screen. And we're encouraged to hold it, and there'll be a leader sentence that I will read, and then one for us all to respond. Good idea, Rachel. So the musicians can get involved too. And this is kind of all in preparation, both the reading of God's word, but then the preaching from it, from Michael later on. So the instructions will come up after the songs, if you grab a Bible, and I'll lead us through. So I'll hand over to Rachel and the others now. Generous God, the Bible is your gift to us. We choose to receive your story with thanks. Providing God, your word is daily bread for us. Help us to remember those who hunger for your truth. Challenging God, your word is living and active. Open us up to receive your truth in our hearts. Comforting God, your word sings out your everlasting love. Tune our ears to the frequency of your song. Guiding God, your word is a light to our path. May we reflect on your ways and then walk in them. Amen. I'm going to invite Helen up to the front. She's going to read to us. This evening we're in the book of Psalms, so taking a break from our series in Luke's Gospel. So we're in Psalm 46.
Psalm 46, and that's on page 570 of this particular church Bible. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress."
Thank you, Helen. I'm going to invite Michael up. Now I'm going to pray for him and for us as he shares God's word with us. Do you want to join me, Michael? Father God, we thank you for Michael. We thank you that he is a child of yours. We thank you that your spirit rests upon him and has equipped him for this evening. We pray that we would be open to the words that you will speak through him, that it wouldn't be Michael's voice that we hear, but it would be yours. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Seems like the Jacksons have cornered the market this evening. Psalm 46, verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I wish I could recall more of the many books I have enjoyed over the years. And long ago, I planned to read all the classic modern novels. What a hope. Last year, I read The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. First published in 2007, it's become an international bestseller. It tells the story of Liesel, whose early life was punctuated by loss. Loss of a mother in a concentration camp. Loss of a brother. Loss of Max hiding in the basement, the Jew. Loss of her step-parents. Loss of Rudy, her best friend. So did nothing relieve all this tragic loss. Yes, the one thing that brought this little girl consolation was the book she managed to steal, and which, thanks to her stepfather, she was able to read. This young girl's fragile formative years were lived in all the destructive chaos of World War II, when life was cheap and dispensable. A bit like the little boy robbed of his childhood by the living hell in Syria, don't you think? But then, has there been any era in history free from insecurity, fear, or anxiety? I honestly wonder with what faith my parents welcomed me into the world in 1941, when Britain was fighting for its very life. You don't need to be a professional historian to be aware that few generations then or now have enjoyed the luxury of security. Because in this world, you can't buy that with insurance policies. Even when there's been a semblance of peace, it's often been enforced by violent means. My own field of study has reminded me time and again that the so-called Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, was bought at the price of violent oppression and subjugation. The will to power constantly threatens to gobble up this people and that. And long ago, a monk in Germany knew this well. His name was Martin Luther, and last year we celebrated 500 years since he nailed to the door of the church in Wittenberg his famous 95 Theses, which triggered the Great Reformation of the 16th century. This act almost cost him his life. Often the man was under threat. So where did he find comfort and assurance? He found it in the Word of God. In particular, Psalm 46, upon which he based his famous hymn, "A Safe Stronghold, Our God Is Still," which we might have sung this evening. In this hymn, Luther echoes the faith of the psalmist in the ultimate security, the living God made known to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, music. I have to say that without music, my life would be immeasurably the poorer, perhaps yours too. What music does is to transcend the spoken word, helping us to express the heights and the depths of our emotions. When mere words come to the end of the line, music takes over to console, to celebrate, to draw pictures in the mind like nothing else can. Sir Thomas Beecham, conductor, declared on one occasion, "The English may not like music, but they absolutely love the noise it makes." And historically, Baptists for many, many years sang nothing in church except metrical psalms, because for them, only the singing of scripture could glorify God. So no Graham Kendrick, thank you very much. It's not too much to say this evening that the psalms of the Old Testament have played, both for Christians and Jews, an unrivaled place in the worship and devotions of God's people. They have kept faith alive in every conceivable circumstance, as the varied experience of the psalmist was made their own. In total, there are 150 psalms divided into five books, reflecting the five books of Moses. The Psalter is poetry from start to finish, set to a music which is now lost to us. It embraces joy, repentance, anger, sadness, gratitude, hatred, and above all, worship of the true and living God. Because of this, it's not hard to relate to this psalm or that as we journey through life. And this evening, we focus on Psalm 46. What first strikes the reader here is the vivid and powerful imagery. The Hebrew of old possessed a great imaginative faculty. He thought in pictures, and so he communicates wonderfully. The psalm itself is divided into three brief sections. It's possible that it reflects a time when Israel was under threat from one of its many and mighty enemies, but we can't be sure. What is certain is that overall it reflects the fear and insecurity that snaps at the heels of his generation and ours. The first section, verses 1 to 3, declares triumphantly, God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help in time of trouble. Why so? Because life is so very dangerous and unpredictable. He draws a dramatic picture here of a world shaken by chaos, where the earth trembles, the mountains fall, and the seas threaten to overwhelm everything. And in the ancient world, the sea was considered something that could overwhelm everything. In the ancient world, the power and destructive force of the sea was always regarded as a special threat to order and stability. But in the very teeth of all this, the living God will not fail us, declares the psalmist. Now, because this psalm was probably sung at festival times, when God's faithfulness in the past was recited and celebrated, and when the people were lifted up in worship into the very presence of God, their confidence in him at this point was unshakable. Come wind, come weather. What follows in verses 4 to 7 is in great contrast. We are standing now in Jerusalem, the city of God, the holy city. And in the place of the raging, destructive waters of the sea, we find what? We find a placid, peaceful river. But you object, rightly. Jerusalem has no river. Quite. But you see, the psalmist here is talking symbolically, anticipating a time when from the city, the holy city, would flow the very water of life, blessing the earth with fertility and abundance, as in the prophet Ezekiel. God indwells his city. And when the forces of the enemy are at the very gates, the God of the morning will come to their aid, heralding a new day, free from oppression, violence, and terror. And then the confident, recurring refrain, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The third and final section of the psalm, verses 8 to 11, is in the form of an invitation to the worshippers. Come and see. Come and see. And what do they see? What if not the images of war? Piles of weaponry broken up and burned, wounded and dying soldiers, a blood-stained landscape, all that is an affront to God who in love fathered forth his creation. Cease fighting, he orders, and know that I am God, supreme over the nations, supreme over all the earth. Here is the pacifist manifesto. The ultimate will of God is an all-embracing peace in which this world will find its consummation and fulfillment, and nothing less than that. Yes, the lion will lie down with the lamb. And to this the people respond with the echoing refrain, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 46. What then do we have here? Do we not have the distilled experience of a people who have suffered much and for generations lived precariously at the mercy of mighty nations? But what is even more powerful than their predicament is their belief in the divine faithfulness, a God who will never leave them, a God who will never forsake them. And it is in worship, that this conviction is most passionately held as the people raise their hearts and voices, enthroning God on their praises. Their testimony is this, that God Almighty transcends the raging of nature, the assaults of the nations, the wars that disfigure the earth, and will establish his eternal kingdom of peace and justice. Of that, they have no doubt. No doubt. Now, cartoons can, in a single image, convey a multitude of words. One of the most telling appeared in a newspaper at the end of World War II. It depicted a bloodied soldier handing a piece of paper to our nation. And it said simply, peace. And the soldier is saying, this time, don't lose it. This time, don't lose it. Sadly, we know all too well what happened since. The Cold War for 40 long wasted years, and now a seemingly unending conflict in the Middle East. It's not surprising if people become resigned to it, cynical that this world can ever learn the lessons of history and embrace a lasting peace. Yes, it's heartwarming to hear young people campaigning for peace, though rarely sustained in the light of their experience. Sad when the old soldier wonders whether the peace he fought for has been realized. Was it worth all that sacrifice? And when Christians pray for peace, it is invariably peace between nations. I've noticed time after time, and perhaps you too, that films which envision the future invariably see a dystopian future, a ravaged earth due to ecological disaster or conflict. Rarely do they portray a better world, marked by reconciliation and mutual cooperation. George Bernard Shaw declared, "In the art of peace, man is a bungler." Quite so. But you see, the Bible is visionary here, obsessed with what? Obsessed with the concept of shalom, a state of total well-being, materially and spiritually, in which conflict is abolished and the nations are at peace one with another. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. The acid test, it seems to me, is whether you can imagine Jesus of Nazareth shouldering a Kalashnikov. No. Supremely, he is both the goal of shalom and the giver of shalom. My peace I give you. And you and I must be tireless in praying and working for the peace of the world in the strength he gives. For he seeks peacemakers, not simply peace lovers. But to echo the theme of Psalm 46, to pray and work for peace in the world also applies much nearer home, not least to our church communities. Now, such communities can be wonderful examples of unity and reconciliation, so that visitors, when they come, take away with them a vision of what life could be outside the church. Sadly, though, the negative aspects of our secular society can sometimes be magnified within our churches. Criticism, an unforgiving spirit, playing the power game, splits and cliques, all such undermine a reconciled and reconciling community indwelt by the Prince of Peace. I recall a former president years ago of our Yorkshire Baptist Association who challenged us with, what kind of church would my church be if all its members were just like me? In a divided, competitive, materialistic society, the Church of Christ can and should be a counterculture. Swimming against the stream, marching to a different drum, a profound experience of community. By the grace of God, may it be so. There remains yet one more aspect of our theme this evening, and this is living with oneself. Living with oneself. The novel, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, by Robert Louis Stevenson, is deceptive. Is it a good story? Yes, it is. But more than that, it can be read as a psychological study into the human psyche, in which good and bad seem irreconcilable, the divided self. In the worst cases, people can't live with themselves, unable to reconcile the person they are and the person they long to be. Are we devil or angel? The question at the heart of the human condition. I'm reminded of the young African who had become a Christian. A friend was very interested and asked him what it felt like. It's like two dogs fighting within me. One black, one white, he replied. And which one wins? It depends which one I feed, he said. It depends which one I feed. So where is inner peace? Inner peace. It comes when we recognize, despite our best efforts, that we can't make it on our own. And then we cry out to the one whose acceptance is utterly unconditional and who loves us more than we can love ourselves. This is our peace. And in the strength of it, we live to the uttermost. For the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So may it be, Lord. So may it be. Amen. In the silence, we make our response to the Word of God. Show us, good Lord, the peace we should seek, the peace we must give, the peace we can keep, the peace we must forego, and the peace you have given us in Jesus our Lord. Amen, amen, amen.
Father God and Son and Holy Spirit, be with us this week. Thank you for the blessings that we've received. We pray that we would bless your name in our songs, in our actions, in our minds, and so that the world would know that you are a blessed God and a God who blesses. Amen.